On the show today, we have Trollin's very own Lou Willie giving us a recap on the CUSO's very first Immersion 18 conference and a scary thing called friendly fraud. So check it out. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Lou Grilly, straight from the Immersion 18 conference at Trollin's. How are you, Lou?
Good. Actually, still at the Immersion 18 conference.
Oh, all right.
That's more activity today, too.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know. I thought it was done yesterday. So congratulations,
it's
then.
It's been a 4 days of packed activity, kind of nonstop.
Wow. Well, congratulations on, you just said before we started recording, it was like wall-to-wall people and excellent content. Can you give us a quick summary or some highlights and takeaways from the conference?
Yeah. So first, this was Tom Davis's first time at bat at this conference, and he did great. He highlighted Trellis's new role as the unbiased independent advocate. Bill Lehman brought up, I think you know Bill, right?
Yeah.
Bill brought up some of the consultants that we have on staff, talking about what services we'll be providing and giving some success stories. Mm-hmm. We had Molly Bell from CUNA talking about really knowing your members. Damon John, the Shark Tank guy, very, very motivational, very upbeat. That was kind of fun with a lot of music thrown in. Teresa Payton, I believe she was the first female CIO of the White House, talking about cybersecurity and the need for credit unions to practice for ransomware attacks in advance before they happen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that was kind of eye-opening.
Yeah.
John Best and Glenn Sarvardi were up on stage talking about innovation, digital gridlock, artificial intelligence, data analytics. You know, John, all that futuristic it's coming, be prepared for it. Kirk Drake, I know you've interviewed him several times. Talking about CU 2.0 and digitizing your credit union. And that was kind of the main stage sessions. Then we had breakthrough sessions, seven simultaneous breakthrough sessions, and there was four different times of those. So there was a lot of content to choose from, and I wish I could have gone to all of them. things like mobile payments, Zelle came up a lot. Mm-hmm. Several tracks on fraud. One was a live demo of the dark web. That was
eye-opening. So scary to me.
And you know something that really somewhat floored me? There was a session on friendly fraud.
Okay, now that's what I wanted to talk to you about. That's so, I mean, that's just like the ultimate oxymoron, you know? Friendly fraud. What? So I want to dive into that because I wanted to talk about the dark web, what Molly talked about, but there's a limited time, obviously. But let's talk about friendly fraud because that's the thing that really kind of piqued my interest. So what is it?
This was somewhat new to me. I'd heard of friendly fraud. I had no idea how widespread it was.
Okay.
So just as a backup.
Sure.
Friendly fraud is fraud in which the cardholder is part of the transaction. So it's not like bad guys stealing a card. The cardholder is complicit in the transaction. And let me back up a level. So the session was Lori Hodges from Visa. She is like the go-to person for any fraud related to cards. And with her was Sherry Hoover from PSECU, Pennsylvania State Employees Credit Union. I think that's the largest credit union in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And so that was fascinating having those two present. So from Visa's perspective, fraud is down. Fraud at the terminal is down 67%. There's still some Magstripe cards out there.
Right.
But here's – and then 20% of all fraud at the terminal is done with a card that was issued with a chip being used at a terminal that accepts chip.
Okay.
Which that shouldn't happen, right? Because we went through this whole EMV conversion to make sure that you don't have counterfeiting. So she attributed about 5% of that to fallback fraud. That's when the bad guys clone a card. Of course, they can't clone the chip, so they use a fake chip, a picture of a chip, or a real chip just without the real credentials on it, because they can't do that. And try it at the terminal, doesn't work. Swipe the Magstripe, that's fallback. And some credit unions still authorize that. A lot of credit unions starting to decline fallback. That's maybe 5%, that's maybe a fourth of that 20% of fraud at the terminal, and the rest of it is attributable to friendly fraud. And the difficulty about friendly fraud is it's so hard to track, right? So you have a, say something happened with a merchant, they charged you extra, something didn't get delivered as promised. You have the right to dispute that charge with your issuer.
Sure.
And there's plenty of times when that's completely legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're seeing is friendly fraud. People are making transactions, legitimate transactions. They were there. They presented the card.
Right.
They got whatever they were paying for, and then they turn around and dispute it. And some of the examples were, a person had several large charges in Atlanta. The person doesn't live in Atlanta.
Sure.
There was a couple of restaurant charges, bar charges, a couple of gift charges, and then said, "I was never in Atlanta." And but do you still have your card in your possession? Yes, I do. All right. Credit union says, we'll give you a provisional credit while we investigate.
Okay.
So they went onto her Facebook page, right? This is public information.
Yeah.
And what's on their Facebook page? Woohoo, we're in Atlanta having fun. Here's us at the Coca-Cola Museum. Here's us at... So then called back the member who had issued that dispute. Now, you say that you weren't in Atlanta. Right. Yeah, never in Atlanta. Okay. On your Facebook page, you have pictures of you in Atlanta at the exact same time when those oh, never mind. And then they withdraw.
Oh, gosh.
Friendly fraud.
Right.
There was another example given, and unfortunately these are anecdotal and there's no real way to track them down. The transaction happened at a local auto parts store. Transaction was, I believe, for a battery and warranty. And person says, no, I didn't do that. So it's a local store. They call the auto parts store and inquire. They know the time of the transaction, mm-hmm. and the name, and the auto parts store says, yes, we have the extended warranty that the person has with the signature, and the signature is that same person's
mm-hmm.
name.
Mm-hmm.
So call back the cardholder to issue the dispute. So you say you never did that, right? No. But we just called the auto parts store and verified that you signed on that same day. And verify what the store was at the same time as that transaction, which you say didn't happen. Oh, must have been my husband. Never mind. And withdrew the dispute. This is happening more and more for large ticket size items, for large dollar items.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the problem with it for the credit unions is it is costing a lot of resource time because each of these has to be investigated
right.
one by one.
Yep. So
and,
if
and
they
there's really no ramification. To the cardholder, if you try to make a dispute and then you're busted, basically,
yeah,
there's really no ramification.
Yeah, exactly. So the fraud, obviously, they're trying to get money back that they spent, right? And then,
yes.
So does that work? I mean, is that like a prevalent thing, or is the lesson here is that you have to investigate to make sure that this doesn't go on? So. I'm trying to connect the dots to like, okay, is there a lot of funds being in this friendly fraud situation? Are there a lot of funds that are returned that shouldn't have been returned because there was an investigation? So
yes, and because some of these are not investigated,
right?
Small credit unions who kind of know their members, they're community based, they know who their members are,
right.
can call the local store, can right. verify, can look on the Facebook. For a really large issuer, you know, with thousands of cards,
mm-hmm.
It's kind of unknown how big this problem is. And then another form of friendly fraud, which is really, I had never heard of this before, card cracking.
Okay. Let's hear
ever
it.
Heard of that?
What is card cracking?
I don't really understand how the name, what the name has to do with what the actual activity is. But
yeah.
Posted around college campuses or on Craigslist, an ad, make $1,000 easy just by using your debit card.
Right.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Wait, $1,000 up to $10,000 in some cases. So what they're looking for is the bad guy goes to a kind of a young, naive, gullible debit card holder. That's why I like colleges and military bases also. And so younger people just starting out in their financial lives, so
mm-hmm.
to speak. And if they hand over their debit card and the username and password and the PIN for the debit card, then they get $1,000. The bad guy, and they're told, you are not liable for anything. Don't worry about
what?
It. Just give us 2 days and then just call your bank and say that the card was lost, stolen, and you're not liable for anything, and all the money that was in your account will be returned. Then they have the card, they go to the ATM, they will deposit some bad checks, money orders that have been altered, checks that have been drawn on accounts that have been closed, so bad checks, and then they withdraw as much of that as they can. They'll like do a whatever the maximum is transaction at the ATM.
Mm-hmm.
So say it's $200, they'll
right.
do one transaction at 11 p.m. and another one at 2 a.m. to maximize that calendar day
right.
change. They'll go to Walmart, and then you see a lot of transactions for like 101.50. So they're buying a pack of gum and getting $100 back. And they'll keep doing repeating those transactions until they've drained the account or reached the maximum that's allowed for debit transactions.
Oh my!
And then the person gets the original debit card holder. They have their money. They call their credit union and say, yeah, I don't have my card anymore. Somebody took it. Go to the pictures at the ATM where the withdrawals are, and sure enough, it's not the cardholder; it's some stranger person.
Sure.
And this takes a lot of investigation.
Oh my god!
Typically, then law enforcement is called in because now we're talking about substantial amounts of dollars that the credit union is out. Law enforcement's called in. It's just so much; it's so time consuming mm-hmm. and difficult to prosecute mm-hmm. the individual cardholders who thought that it was really believed that it was legitimate.
Wow, what a scam. Oh my god.
No kidding.
Oh my god.
And when I hear these kinds of things, I'm just scratching my head, partially because I don't think like a fraudster. So I would never think about disputing a charge that, you know, I went to that restaurant, I ate the food, it was good.
Yeah.
I'm not going to dispute
it. Right.
It was a lot of money maybe, but I wouldn't dispute that. And I certainly would never think to hand over my debit card and get paid for it and think that it's all that it's legitimate.
Yeah.
So and what that credit union is doing, this is PSECU.
Yeah.
What that credit union is doing is when anybody opens up a new debit account, they get basically a fact sheet that this is the scam. This is what will happen if you are caught in that scam, possibly, you know, jail time and fines, et cetera.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, be aware of it. And if you see any kind of advertisements like that on Craigslist or posted, like mm-hmm. paper with the little tear the phone number off, report it to your credit union. And they're working closely with the university police on that one.
Well, I think the Post-it is a clear sign of, you know, this isn't something's not up here. You know, this is not an official advertisement. If you find a Post-it, you know, on some bulletin board somewhere like that, that's a big red flag right there that, hey, you know, this may not be legit. Gosh, though, this is just, I mean, I'm with you, Lou. I'm like blown away by this type of stuff. And I don't think like a fraudster either. I'm like, gosh, I mean, just the thought process behind it, the planning and all this type of stuff. And oh my goodness, Lou, this is just some very eye-opening, and I'm sure a lot of other folks have not heard about this either, even folks at credit unions. So it's just, I'm in awe now.
That session was packed, like standing room only kind of packed. The nice thing about that is it was presented by a person from Visa, very knowledgeable about her subject, and a person from a credit union. And a lot of credit unions, their feedback, their surveys, just hearing from them say, yes, we learn a lot from the Trellis people, Trellis's partners, who are presenting and providing information. But the most valuable content comes from other credit unions and their experiences and what they're seeing.
Yep.
And so I remember the discussion during that particular session. Is anybody else seeing this? Oh my gosh, yes! And then now all the stories start coming out, and these individual, you know, anecdotes of events of like the car battery purchase and the Atlanta trip and a whole bunch of other really interesting stories. Yeah. But that's just a drop in the bucket as to what's really going on across all of the credit unions and banks for that matter. So yeah, this is a growing problem.
Oh my gosh.
Except on a one-by-one basis.
Hang on, Lou. I got a call coming in. So hang on. Sorry about that. That's what happens when you're connected with everything. But so the lesson here is so like the smaller credit unions who may not have the resources to investigate this stuff, they're basically out this money if this happens. So because they don't have the time or the resources to like go after every single, you know, fraud attempt or what have you there. So is that's what's happening. So there's a lot of money being lost here. So how do they combat this? Like you said, they're giving these warnings up front, I guess, is kind of what they're doing to combat it. Right.
Right. So, it's like I said, I don't think like a fraudster, and to think that credit union members, I like to think that credit unions are good and credit union members are good.
Yeah.
And it's hard to think that credit union members would commit fraud, friendly fraud.
Right.
But yes, apparently it's happening and growing, and member education. And, you know, as each of these cases is caught, then typically the credit union will boot that individual because that's not a good credit union member anymore.
Yeah.
So just weeding out the bad guys one by one. And these aren't when I think of fraudsters, I'm thinking of like the people that are in the Ukraine and Russia, right. You know, hacking into accounts. No, these are just people, you know, walking around with their debit, with their credit union branded debit cards, and just disputing charges or selling their card for usage.
So when they're booted from a credit union, are they like, is there like some sort of blacklist somewhere? Are they like, you know, is there some like list like, hey, you know, if they try to, you know, join another credit union or even a bank for that matter, is there like some list like, oh, well, we see that you committed fraud here or attempted to do it. Well, we don't want you either type of thing because we don't want you doing that here. Is there some sort of list like that, I would think, or?
No, I don't. I can't think that there would be. I can't imagine that possible. But
I don't know.
There is one kind of bright light is data analytics,
right.
Upcoming, and there's a lot of usage for being able to collect data and then act on that data. And this is one possible use case, hasn't really been pursued yet, but if transact like the several transactions at Walmart for $101.50 occur in a rapid succession, almost always over the weekend, by the way, this occurs, then you know, flag somebody on the credit union staff, have them note, or shut down that card, or something like that.
Yeah.
So there's potential. There's a potential bright spot here. Is data analytics may be able to cut into this kind of growing friendly fraud and detect it in advance.
Oh my gosh, Lou! Every time I talk to you, I'm either scared out of my mind or we have a major aha moment or something like that. It's just the stuff that's out there that's going on. And even if you're like a card recipient and you see one of these post-it notes or somebody comes up to you and kind of explains their scam to you, even, I mean, that's like, I would like run for the hills. You know, I would never be up for that. You know, it's like, no, this is my card. You know, I don't want to jeopardize my credit or my, I don't know, reputation, that, anything like that. Gosh, I mean, especially a college student when you're just starting out in life, basically, and somebody comes up, hey, can I borrow your debit card type of thing? No way, man. No way.
Exactly.
But people are doing it.
The kind of nice thing that I saw in that particular breakthrough session, and this I saw this over and over again, is there are some other credit unions who are in the attendees in that session, and they're having the exact same problem, and they're kind of relieved to hear that they're having the exact same problem, yeah. And to compare notes on how it's being dealt with. And then there are other credit union attendees who are saying, I never even heard of this.
Yeah.
I need to take this information back with me, and now we need to start looking for this. And maybe we shouldn't just, every time somebody issues a dispute, just automatically you know, put a provisional credit in and then just send it back to the merchant. Maybe we need to be investigating some of these, or at least look into them to see if it could be suspicious. You know, if somebody issues one dispute on something and it seems legitimate, if there's a pattern of this, though, then that's worthy of investigation. But to see the other credit unions who've never heard of this have their, like me, have their eyes open to this new type of fraud, and then now they have information to take back. That was kind of good to see.
Yeah. So we got to be on the lookout for card cracking, friendly
and
fraud.
Friendly fraud.
And what's the other? Is there a terminology for the other one where the people are having a fun time in Atlanta or going to the auto part? Is there like a term for that or?
No, that's all still part of friendly fraud. The other part of it was fallback fraud.
Okay, fallback fraud. Okay.
But that's where somebody's card really got cloned, and then the fraudsters, the real bad guys, are trying to use a cloned card or counterfeit card in a point of sale.
Goodness gracious! Oh my gosh, the price we're paying for convenience these days, you know. So this is the bad side of the coin that's occurring out there, unfortunately. So all right, well, it's I think the lesson here is it's good to be vigilant and staying on top of this type of stuff. And and it's always great talking to you, Lou, because I learn a ton, even though I'm like frightened now. So it's like. Anything else to wrap up on this stuff or?
Not all the conference was bad things like the dark web.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, I know. I know. It's always fun talking to you.
There was a lot of positive messages. There was a lot of great use cases like, credit unions that have grown their card portfolio by, using Charlton's services to, increase usage, increase utilization, increase purchases. One of our credit unions, something like 300%. They gave away their card program a while ago, and then they got back into credit cards, and with our help, they were able to grow their portfolio over 300%.
300.
So there was a lot of positive news, some great success stories coming out of this conference. Also,
we want to talk to those guys, Lou. We want to talk to those guys.
I want to publish some use cases with them because sure. they're good Trellance partners, but they also have done some great things. Lots of positive messages coming from our main stage at Immersion, and today's the last day of conference activities, and I can't wait for next year's.
Exactly. Speaking of, do you want to give us a tease for next year, or you want to give us a little foresight into what's going to happen next year, or when, where is that allowed yet, or are we waiting?
Oh, so it's going. I know that it's going to be in the same location, which is the Marriott in Fort Lauderdale. I don't know the dates of it off the top of my head. Sorry.
Okay. Well, we'll check back with the with your crack PR team there and see if we can nail down a date for everybody so we can plan for next year. Very cool stuff, Lou. Glad the conference was a success. I am extremely bummed I'm not there. So we will definitely do it next year. So and it sounds like there was lots of really cool takeaways for everyone there. So appreciate the time as always. And I know you probably got to run because there's probably lots of stuff for you to do as well.
I think I'm being told it's May 6th through 10th.
Oh, okay. 6th through the 10th. All right. We will mark it on our calendars.
1 year from now.
All right. Very cool. All right, Lou. Thank you for the information as always. And we will check back with you probably in a month to see what else is going on out there.
Sounds good.
All right, Lou. Thanks again. Appreciate the time.